Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today we're in living color, folks, myself and a Mr. Brian E. Roach joining me. And you know what? We promised this for a little while, Brian. I can't say that this is going to be an every episode deal, but I felt since we had a bye week, well, an impromptu bye week, I had some time to collect some things together and finally show my mugshot here to the entire Steelers Nation. So, as everyone is horrified now at seeing me on camera, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm sitting in my room. I'm dealing with quite a bit of chaos in my life at the moment. But, you know, it's always good to hang out with you, man. And now people can see stuff. It's exciting.
Yeah, they're going to see, like, all kinds of ugly things. Like, when I go to, like, swig of water over here. I love it. Yeah. Well, we're always talking, and I had to mention this, of course. I got to make sure I stay in front of the microphone so everyone can hear me. But we got the 47 brand Carhartt hats on today, which I've been promising to show this. It was actually going to be last week because I finally got you yours. And you're there. I don't know what you're doing.
Dirty old hiking hat.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a dirty old hike. Oh, you're looking for something else.
No, I'm looking for my Carhartt hat.
Oh, that's not even it. That's that.
What? Not it. This is my dirty old hat.
No, that's not it. But it's a 47 brand hat. So just so everybody knows, I was deceived. I thought Brian, I didn't even look close enough. There's like the actual, you know, the Carhartt brown, like the real worker's hat. And he's got one of those. I got this mesh thing, and you could see, like, I'm going to be like LL Cool J here because I don't have no hair. Brian's always talking about it. I don't really want to mess up my my deal here, but yeah, I'm bald. So he's always making fun of me about it. I got no hair. That's because I got a wife and a kid. So I attribute it to that. And of course, we do have football to talk about. But I did have to talk here just quickly. Like, I mean, this is the snapback cap. Brian, if he finds the brown one, if not, we'll do another one and we'll show you. But I had been promising those folks something for a little bit here and finally getting around to it just because, you know what, not that I'm lazy, but the Postal Service, too, just trying to send this stuff and distribute it to the whole SCU team here. You know, I don't want to get into politics and voting, but the mail system on a whole other level is just, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. It's worrisome. I don't even want to get into any of the other things that could be involved with that. But I've lost packages in the mail and things of that nature. And we've all been there. Things damaged. But anyways, these arrived. Anyway, mine did. Who knows where yours is?
No, I have it. It's upstairs. I just didn't put it on.
Carhartt and 47 brand joined forces to celebrate the hardworking fans, the ones who hashtag outwork and outroot the rest in durable workwear and premium sportswear. So take a look at these. They have them online. They may have them in a few select stores, particularly if you're in Western Pennsylvania and or the Pittsburgh area. But hot item. They have the stocking caps too, which of course it's still a little too warm to wear those. I mean, this is the thing that sucks, Brian. You're finally getting fans of Heinz Field, 5,500, not even a full 10% for this Philadelphia Eagles game kicking off 1 o'clock Sunday. It's still going to be nice warm weather. Four of these first five games, or not four, but four or five within 6 weeks here. Potentially all fantastic weather for the first half of the season here for Steelers games, and I can't even partake in it. This would be the games where I'm out tailgating, you know, 7:30, 8 a.m. Outside, you know, the West End Bridge there, and I'd be wearing shorts and enjoying a cold beverage. It's hard to drink beer sometimes in the morning before these games. I'm not much of a day drinker, so But these are all the things that I'm missing here. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, you can go get a ticket. If you're lucky to find one or be able to have enough people to go with you, they're selling them in pairs of like twos and fours on the secondary market, of course, season ticket holders, whoever already purchased those. So you're not buying them direct from the team. There's no tickets available direct that I'm aware of. It's all secondary market. And I had this argument with somebody. They bought tickets. It's like the guys I upset last year when I got too drunk around my birthday, Brian. We've had these seats for, what, 50 years or whatever they told me. And it's like Heinz Field's only been open since like 01, man. What are you talking about? So anyways, I got in an argument with somebody that said they weren't going to give Jerry Jones money because we were looking to go to Dallas too, you know. And yep. The exorbitant prices, but it's all secondary market. These are Jerry's already got their money. This money doesn't go to Jerry through StubHub. Jerry's already got the money. The tickets that you're buying, Jerry's got that money. So whether or not you want to give Jerry Jones your money, you go to the game, he's got your money regardless. So just don't go to the game. Don't argue with me that you've been buying tickets for 30 years. And, you know, if it's somebody that's listening to this, they might be embarrassed now that like, oh, geez, I didn't realize I was talking to him. Yeah, I've been buying. I'm only 38. I've been buying tickets for 40 years. So directly from whoever. But the reason I bring up the age length here, too, Brian, this isn't a game. A lot of people, they like to think like a rivalry. I don't know. Some people still get geeked up over that Cowboys thing. But the Eagles, maybe for you, because your brother is an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
If I recall correctly. Maybe for you, you get a little bit of the formerly in-house, but inter-family type thing. Interstate rivalry, not so much. They've played twice at Heinz Field since it opened in 2001. And the Steelers are 2-0 in those games. So, but not so much we talk about when they go to Philly, and a lot of people look at the all-time record in these games, and I already put this up on steelcityunderground.com the other day. A great majority of those games predate the NFL modern era, which began in 1970. I think they have about a dozen between each other in that time, and Steelers still don't have a winning record against them. I think it's like 4-8. However, they tend to do better as long as they're not in Philadelphia, which they haven't won at since 1968. Before Joe Green or Joe Green rookie year. I mean, that's just, that's unbelievable.
Playing in Philly is a different thing than playing, in Pittsburgh, obviously. And I'm, you know, I keep reminding people, we talked about it the other day, people keep saying Philly owns them. No, Philly owns them in Philly. Not so much at Heinz. You gotta want to remember, I'm pretty sure the Eagles were one of the two undefeated teams that one year. Came into Heinz Field, the Brady-led Patriots were the other one, and they won both those games. And people were like, back to back, you just beat the two undefeated teams, and everybody was hyper and excited and ecstatic. So it's not that the Eagles own the Steelers in Pittsburgh, but they've had problems in Philly. But this is not that kind of an Eagles team either. I don't want to use the kind of language they use on TV because it's not nice. and what I've heard on TV recently describing certain events has just been bad. So I'll just say it is one of those. It's a show, of not nice smelling stuff.
Okay. Well, isn't that something too? So, anyways, you know, what was I going to say? The record isn't all that big, and we look at the Steelers 3-0. They had their momentum kind of stalled here with this impromptu bye week, which I want to talk about real quick too, because there's still stuff going on with the Titans. It's amazing how the NFL has moved mountains. You're just a goof, man. I'm telling you, but they've moved mountains in order to allow like this upcoming Titans Bills game to be played like a Tuesday. Then they moved another game that was supposed to be the Thursday night game, Bills and Chiefs, actual good Thursday night game for a change. And then, you know, that screws with those teams too, where they're supposed to have their mini bye or whatever also. And then, there's the game that we just saw. There was the Patriots and, the Chiefs. It was the Chiefs again.
No, all right, yeah, Patriots.
Yeah, Chiefs. Sorry, no, not last night's game. Tom Brady, you know, four fingers in the air like he's Ric Flair. No, Tom, it's first down for the other team. He was so shocked. It was just ridiculous. So, Yeah, I'm a little perturbed about the whole thing with that because they were very quick. By this point, we already knew the game wasn't going to happen on Sunday. And now they're at the same point changing things. And I understand they probably don't want the Titans to miss two in a row because that's a real scheduling nightmare. But they moved some stuff with some other teams and made this doable for the Patriots-Chiefs game and also now maybe Titans-Bills and then again the Chiefs being affected. And this is all a ripple effect from the stupid Tennessee Titans if they, as rumored, did not follow protocol. And I know some people, I want to get your opinions on this because I'm not on the bandwagon to say, hey, I want a forfeit. I want a cheap victory because, God forbid, if the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Ravens were to get a victory this year because of a forfeit, I'd be PO'd. I would not like that at all. I mean, that's all the more. I like everything to be decided on the field rather than just a forfeit.
Yeah, this is the way I'm my view is. I don't want a forfeit. I want to be able to play them. But at the same time, I don't want a competitive disadvantage in order to make that happen. And if they work around this or if they find out that down the road, they can no longer make these kind of adjustments and they force this team to forfeit, then I want my forfeit because that's now you've got two different kinds of results for the same problem. And that can't work. So to be honest, initially I thought that was probably the best and easiest thing to do if you get in trouble and you're in this situation and you don't feel like you have enough players to play or you feel like it's a safety issue, sorry, you forfeit. If on the other hand, they figure out a way to get around it, that's fine. I'm tentative because if they end up at this situation where the Titans actually did something outside of the guidelines, right? So they violated the rules that were associated with it. Well, then they need to be penalized for that. I did see one guy say, oh, well, give us their first round pick and we'll be happy. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. That's how it'll work. No.
I mean, we still don't know enough about this virus to have that crazy of a penalty for it. You may have had a knucklehead or two that, who knows what happened? We really don't. They traveled and you just assume it's just them just because the Vikings who they played didn't have anything to happen. But that would be like saying, well, Cam Newton ended up being on this COVID list. So now the Patriots, well, they moved the game back one day, but they should give up a 7th round pick as well. It's like, I don't know. It goes down to not wanting to blame players who get injured going all the way back to the Lev Bell days where I'm like, hey, it's not his fault that somebody took out his knee. I do the same thing with this illness stuff.
Well, I do up until the point where if they get the tracing back, then it does turn out that it's because they held an unauthorized practice amongst themselves. Yeah, then I'm not like, okay, oh well, they didn't know. No, then I'm
no,
it's out.
No. They get penalized. They should get penalized. Period for having an unauthorized practice, let alone what's going on in the middle of a pandemic or whatever global concerns with the virus.
Yeah. So I guess the bottom line is, as long as they're not going to change their mind and start forfeiting, then I don't want to forfeit. But if they do, then I do.
Yeah, and some have suggested adding weeks to the end of the season. I honestly think they should do weeks in the middle of the season, but it's going to penalize some teams. Like it still penalizes the Steelers. It's not like they're going to get that break. It's going to be all the other teams who don't have a makeup game. And we're going to find out how many of those situations there might be. Right now, there's none. So unless this game, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, they moved. Which game was it? They moved the Broncos and somebody too to Monday night. So another team gets affected and there's short, days or whatever. And these are the things, I guess, that, you agreed to when you agreed to have a season. It's just, it seems unfair for the teams that have been affected by it so far. So, regardless, go ahead.
He did quote something or put out a tweet. I don't know whether it was his quote or whether he was retweeting somebody else. But I guess it's true. When you try to have a season during a pandemic, you can probably either have an unfair season or no season. And I'll take an unfair season over no season.
Yeah, I agree. It's better. Some football is better than no football. But the Steelers, you know, they had a weird week. You just like the horse around now that we got the video stuff. See, he doesn't do this on his own. It's the cat's away, the mice will play. No, the cat's here, and he'll still play. He's taunting me. But they had to. They didn't really have a bye week, and I had to take that extra practice off. So now you're seeing some injuries pop up in the injury report for the Steelers. Like T.J. Watt shows up with a DNP for a knee on Thursday. You have Derek Watt hasn't practiced at all and doesn't look like he's going to be available even after that extra week off. Deontay Johnson came out of the concussion protocol. He's going to be available. They were talking about Marcus Allen coming along, and then all of a sudden he's not. And it's not as if I think he's been a major impact player here one way or the other with that. You had an illness with Joe Hayden. You had Juju show up with a knee and then come back to a full practice. Deontay even again with the toe, and then you had some veteran days off for guys like Marquise Pouncey, Stephon Tuitt, and Ben Roethlisberger. However, when you go to the Eagles side of the ball, and they did not have a week off, and they got their first victory. It wasn't pretty by any means, but this is a team that's just ravaged with injuries, and they beat another team that was ravaged with injuries in the 49ers, and just by the skin of their teeth due to, was it a pick six, I believe? I know there was a big interception. I think it was pick six, too. So, aside from all the guys that are on injured reserve, where do I begin with this list? Their offensive line is already patchwork. Jason Peters is on IR. And then they had Nate Herbig. He's one of their guards. He was limited, and he was full practice. So, he shows back up there. Lane Johnson was a DMP and a limited with an ankle. So, Lane is... left tackle, right tackle, right tackle, right? And then the guy who made his first start ever, ooh, I got to look up his name. I think he's from Australia. He was a former rugby player. He was an international pathway guy. He's only played like 80 snaps in the NFL. He's been a project developmental player. They had to throw him out there on the other side opposite Lane Johnson last week. And I guess he did all right, but then again, the 49ers weren't at full strength. I'm looking for this is the guy that Bud Dupree is going to line up against on Sunday. And it's going to be feasting if TJ's playing, even if Alex Highsmith plays, I want to say, or Ola. If Lane Johnson's not out there, that's a pretty big name to lose to. Jason Kelce, also their center, and also a very good center. Limited and then full practice with a hip. These guys are like gladiators. I imagine they'll probably play on Sunday, but if they have any complications in game, these guys are already thin. They're picking up players from other teams' practice squads to fill in here on their offensive line. And Carson Wentz, who's not been a great quarterback so far in 2020, what was it? Washington put him down about 8 times, then he got sacked another 4 apiece in the last 2 games by San Francisco, and I got to look up who the other team is here as well. It's not pretty. It's Jordan Mailata, I believe is how you say his name, former rugby player. 62 snaps last week. That's his entire career. He was a swing tackle otherwise to start the season with only 20 offensive snaps through the other 3 games. So he's going to be taking Jason Peters' spot at left tackle. Lane Johnson is the right tackle. So, and their center. I mean, that's a lot of holes. I mean, when you're sending Vince Williams, when you're sending Mike Hilton, this should be a field day for the Steelers defense, Brian, and I know we're kind of melding these things together, but if the Eagles, I mean, they have Miles Sanders, Carson Wentz, who's thrown a pick. He's thrown a pick in every single game. He's thrown 2 and 3 games. I think he's second in the NFL in interceptions right now and like 4th in attempts or something like that, but they don't have anybody to throw the ball to either. DeSean Jackson has been on the injury list. Who else is here? JJ Arcega Whiteside, he's been practicing. That's about one of the only guys they got to throw the ball to. Elshon Jeffrey is still not made his way back. Did I say Elshon Jeffrey already? No, I said DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson got hurt last week or the week before with the Bengals. And then Elshon Jeffrey has not made his way back. Neither has Jalen Reagor, their first-round draft pick. So all three of their top wide receivers are out. So is one of their other targets, Dallas Goedert, is also on IR. So they have Zach Ertz. How's this team going to move the ball against this Steelers defense, who not only clamps down the run, But it seems like Carson Wentz will be pressured enough and turns the ball over enough. He's fumbled four times also. He's only lost one. But strip sacks are a big thing when you're talking about Watt and Dupree too.
Yeah, I expect the entire front of this defensive front to feast in this game. I expect Bud and TJ, if he plays, or whoever plays on that side, to be able to take advantage of things. I expect the interior of the line to take advantage of things and make their presence start to be felt again. Maybe Cam Hayward gets his first sack of the year. I don't believe he's gotten one yet.
Half sack. Yeah.
Tuitt can be a disruptive force with this group. And then, yeah, you throw Vince Williams, a tremendous blitzing, linebacker in there. I don't see a way for them to really stop this. And I will say this, if the Eagles manage to keep Carson Wentz upright and they don't have the pressure and somehow that doesn't happen, then there'll be problems. But I just can't see that occurring.
Really? Well, yeah, and you talk about the running backs that the Steelers have already faced and the offensive lines that haven't really been too much stronger, and none of them really. The Giants, Broncos, and Texans. So you're talking about Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, David Johnson. Do you really put Miles Sanders in that same category as any of those guys, really? I mean, I know David Johnson has been kind of trying to be a rebound player after, the injury he suffered, not last season, but the season before, new coaching staff and everything like that. So when you're dealing with the Eagles here and Miles Sanders, I'm no selling that, by the way. I just don't see how they're going to have a running game. And there's just no way. Now, they throw the ball to the backs here or there. I think that's what they're going to have to do. It's going to have to be some dump-offs with Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz maybe opening up a big play. Maybe they get DeSean Jackson or something. But DeSean Jackson's like 33 years old or something, too. He's still fast. He's still a threat. But I see him as a player in decline. I think injuries catching up to him, et cetera, et cetera. This could be his last year in the league. And you can even go back to last season, the Eagles, they had major trouble with wide receivers. They were just anywhere and everywhere. Didn't they have Mike Wallace last year too, just for a short spell? And
but he was there.
Yeah, I think he did, but he barely played. It's just, I don't see how they're going to move the ball, and that should be really advantageous for the Steelers offense. But I want to make my bold prediction. I'll do it after the offense.
Okay.
So I guess we'll do it after the offense. I mean, the Steelers have their full complement of everyone. It's like David DeCastro got to play a game, and now he gets to heal even more. We saw Chooks have a pretty good game. We saw Fletcher Cox show up on this injury report, too. It's not as if the Eagles can't get after the quarterback. They're up there in sacks, too. I think the Steelers are still second in the league, actually, even with the week off, which is pretty tremendous. So the Eagles will get after the quarterback some too, but you kind of take a look and see, they played the Washington football team. Okay. They played the Rams. Okay. And then the Bengals and the 49ers and the 49ers, Bengals rookie quarterback, Joe Burrow. And that's the game that went to OT. Yep. And then you have the 49ers had a combination of Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard last week. You had Dwayne Haskins. I hate saying it, disparaging our fellow Buckeyes, but they haven't faced Jared Goff. He was a guy who throws a bunch of picks too, usually, and they tore him up. They scored 37 points. The Rams did on these guys. They even lost to Washington, who put up 27. The Bengals, that was 23 points from the Bengals and 20 out of the 49ers without, without their running backs, without some of their wide receivers, without their quarterback. George Kittle caught like about 50 passes or something in that game. And I think that's what we're going to end up seeing here is the Steelers offense is the same thing. They're going to feast. I think it's another James Conner game with a spell of maybe Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland. I think we see Juju and or Deontay, maybe even a big play out of Chase Claypool. I'm still leaning towards he's out there maybe 30-40% of the time, but he's not getting all of those looks just yet, but they'll use them when there's an opportunity and they set up this chess match and get open. I was going to shoot my shot on a couple things here, Brian. I think the Steelers finally get to 30 points in this game for the first time this season.
I, 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 I'm willing to go with that. If that's your bold prediction, I
no, think it wasn't.
Fair one. I was gonna say I don't know that that's overly bold because they've been close, but this is just not a good team. The Eagles team is just not a good team. I think Chase Claypool could have a big day. I think if Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster feel good, they could have big days. I think the tight ends could have big days. I think Eric Ebron could have a nice follow-up day here. I think that it's possible that James Conner can, you know, carry the ball and maybe get another 100-yard game. And if he doesn't, maybe somebody else will. That just seems to be the way it works, right? Maybe Anthony McFarlane will get a 100-yard game, or maybe Benny Snell football will come back in and not fumble, and then he'll get a 100-yard game. They're gonna do fine. I think that the offense is definitely primed to finally put up a big game against the defense that's just not very good.
Well, I also see the defense, the Steelers defense, that is, maybe getting a defensive touchdown here, a score of some sort. Over under on this game's 44.5, with the Steelers giving the Eagles 7 points. 44.5. So whenever we're trying to figure out some type of score prediction, my boldness was going to say, do we think the Steelers can get the 40? They haven't gotten the 30, but this team just looks like they look leaky. They look like they're primed to just give up a ton of points. So I don't know, Brian. My prediction really was I was going to go with what you usually do with the defense, and that is at least 5 sacks. And 2 turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. I don't want to go 40 points because I'm still hesitant to think, you know, the Steelers, they come out of bye weeks pretty rough in the Mike Tomlin area. So I was talking to Ryan Lippert, one of our contributors here, about this too. And I said, you know, this is a team we should really beat up. And Ryan was looking for somewhere around 37, 38 points for this game when he did his scouting report. And I'm like, you know, this is the type of the game where the Steelers are going to be down 10-0 in the first quarter and then come back and the Eagles will never score again. I could see that happening. I could see them getting the ball first, like losing a coin toss. We've been having to defer and, you know, stuff like that where they put the defense out first. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, what if the offense goes out first, goes 3 and out, and then it ends up being like 10-0 or something off of, like, you know, a fluke here or there. And, you know, they're very sluggish. We saw they come out against the Texans, and I don't know. I'm not hoping for that by any means. I would love for nothing more than the 21-0 and then just kind of, you know, keep the pedal to the floor from there. You know, just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the clock, possess the ball. Don't do anything stupid or let that team back in the game, and keep your defense rested, well rested for the following week. I really wish we had something to go back on, like, I don't know, let's say a Titans game to be able to compare and see, you know, where the Steelers are at. They've been playing some pretty miserable teams. I don't think that the Eagles by any means are on any sort of rebound here. I don't really think they should have won the game that they won last week. I thought they should be 0-4, but they are 1-3. Or no, they're not 1-3. I'm sorry. They got that stupid tie. So they're 1-2-1. Yeah, I keep thinking they lost to the Bengals, but the Bengals, the Bengals, they finally got their win too. We talked about that, but I digress. I say a big game for the Steelers all the way around. It should be a dominant game. I just hope this isn't one of those games where they had the week off and you get the inferior opponent storyline that comes in. But Mike Tomlin has kept this team pretty focused from the get-go here. I mean, they're not 3-0 by accident. So my expectations are a little bit higher than usual headed into the Sunday.
Yeah, let me put my virtual headset on. I want to look ahead into the future here. See whether I think what my bold predictions are. Very nice. Yes, I see some wonderful things happening.
You know, okay. I go on video for the first time, and he has to be a total clown. And, of course, I'm not even 100% sure how to do all these little special effect things that he's incorporating at this time. I'm just lucky. I had the video backwards or mirror mode to begin this whole show to begin with. I don't know if anybody noticed it or not, or if I'm going to be able to correct it in our post-production. But it's not that I'm technical illiterate here either. I know my stuff. I'm man, you're just driving me crazy. And the thing is, he's trying to get me to crack and to laugh. The thing he doesn't get is that even though we're finally doing something where people can see our faces here, there's a whole other audience out there that can only hear this and have absolutely no clue the jackassery that you're doing over there. There's just no other word for it.
Visit our YouTube channel and you can see me being a doofus.
Okay. And also comment and then say, get to football, folks. But you know what? We are kind of getting up against it here, and I don't know that there's a whole lot else to cover. Your predictions. I will let you do your predictions. I thought you were done with the Viewmaster or whatever you had to your face.
But you were too distracted by the Viewmaster. You wouldn't let me actually say them. All right. I'm going to take your two turnovers and turn them over into three, because I think the defense gets three turnovers. And 9 sacks.
Woo! Nine.
And that, I wanted to say 10, but I said 9 because of the Ferris Bueller reference.
I'm wondering. Is it 9 like no in German or something?
Nine. Yes, it is. 9. They will not. 9. They will not fall.
Thou shalt not. Pass.
Yeah, they will pass. I don't know. I wasn't going bold, but I was just looking at the last 2 weeks. You know, the Eagles 4 sacks. I was like 5. You know, when you start getting into 6 and 7, that's still a lot, no matter how bad a team is. You know, they may just start throwing the ball away or running it or whatever. There may not be the opportunities there. Or maybe the Steelers just don't, they get conservative on D and just only rush 4. Or something like that, you know, which they could still do some damage with those 4.
I don't think it matters.
It's not. Unfortunately for the rugby guy, and who knows, he may turn out to be a fine player like Alejandro Villanueva, you know, well, like kind of out of nowhere. But it was just pretty telling prior to 2018, he hadn't played a snap of football whatsoever. And it also pretty telling that he is now starting in the NFL, too. So
I have a
there's
fear
two sides to that.
We will not be complaining about TJ being held. What we will be complaining about is Bud being tackled and held repeatedly without any yellow flags coming out. Because rugby, you get your hands on guys. And yeah. I have a bad, bad feeling that if Bud doesn't just, or even if he does, let's say Bud lights this guy up initially, all of a sudden that guy's just going to grab him.
Yeah, and you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of those holding penalties called in these games, all these games that we've been watching. There was one false start. The false starts, even, for the most part, it seems like they're just letting things kind of be, which is scary. Unless you're Tony Corrente. Who did he have? Did he have the Thursday night game? That was a disaster. It was a disaster. It was his usual. It was something Bill Belichick had thought the ball was turned over. It wasn't communicated. Remember, it was like almost like a fumble or something like that, and they called it incomplete pass. There was something like that, sure. And they were bewildered as to why Bill Belichick didn't challenge it. Yeah, whatever. It's like Brady putting up the 4 fingers thinking he had an extra thing. I'm sorry, not the Thursday night game, the Monday night game, but regardless, just keep Tony Corrente away, far, far away, please. We get Ronald Torbert, who hasn't necessarily been a disaster for the Steelers. He's the head official for Sunday's game here at Heinz Field. There's finally going to be fans. We're going to see if we're going to see how loud they get. And we're also going to see, how the players respond to this as well. And I nearly wore a mask, but then I realized I couldn't talk into the thing and I'm also by myself. So, but Brian, hey man, thanks for joining me once again. I know we're getting long in the tooth with things to talk about. I think we covered all the bases here. I don't think there's anything else there is to say about this game other than kind of debunking the Eagles lead this whole series 47-28-3. And I think all but 12 of those games before 1970, they didn't even play each other in the 1980s. Not to say the Steelers may have had a chance at winning a game with Bubby or somebody like that in there, Mark Malone or whoever. I don't know the 1 year with Mark Malone, maybe, but that's predating almost my existence. I get to live through a lot of highlights until the end of that decade, and then Bill Cowher era. You know, was really when I came along. Barry Foster. You know, Rod Woodson was like one of my all time guys, but Barry Foster was really big when I first got into watching football, and you know, he was the man there for a year or so, and And he's still making appearances. I've seen his name out there floating around, so good for him. He hasn't been forgotten by Steelers fans. You forget about things real quickly. I'll throw out this little personal note before we go. You know, you have like the memory things on social media and stuff like that. So there's a picture of me and my cousin. I just tweeted it out a little bit ago. I have the Bumblebee, number 84, and he's wearing 26, and it's not Rod Woodson. It's Lev Bell. That was only 4 years ago. And that was against the New York Jets, and that would be the game, the coming out and also going back party for Sammy Coates, where he busted his fingers. But that, they wore the Bumblebee stripes in week five, I believe, back then, and it was nice weather for that one too. So I'm going to be a sad panda if I don't make it to Heinz Field. I'll probably make it when it's like threatening the blizzard, and then everybody's going to, you know, get rid of their tickets because they don't want to go in the cold weather. And by all means, I'll take them. I'll take them for sure. But the guy I go season ticketing with and yourself opted out, and you know, still there was no guarantee that any of us would have gotten the tickets anyway. So such a crapshoot. You don't want them to hold a few thousand dollars of your money at the same time. So unfortunate, but maybe we'll get to the point where it's Florida and they just let everybody in. Although the teams aren't doing that. They're not doing that. They've been given the green light to expand to full capacity should they choose, but they have not chosen to do so. So but they still, they're 13,000 or something like that. Yeah.
So you can, anybody that comes to Eli's on Whitney in New Haven, where I'm going to watch the game this weekend, this is what I'll look like, except my mask will be a Steelers mask.
Yeah, I'm debating if I'm going to hit a Steelers bar. You know, Ohio guy here. So I was eyeballing hitting up, there was one in Dayton, Ohio, and then the other that I've been to in Columbus. And of course, I'm my hometown, Youngstown, Ohio. There's plenty of them, because it's like half Steelers fans there being halfway distance between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So I just, as we've mentioned, going to the bar scene and stuff, sometimes I just can't stand what some of the people say. And it irritates me, and I get distracted from some key details in the game that, you know, I'd rather be distracted at home by my seven-year-old or something like that rather than and I don't want to do too much of the drinking, because if I have too many adult beverages, Brian, we're going to see some goofier things if we do video. So I give us some feedback on this. I think it's pretty good. You know, you may have heard me slurp on my mug once or twice. I apologize for that. And never again will I ever do this, because Brian is just going to be a complete fool. For those who are on our audio-only formats, he keeps switching to all these Zoom filters. He's on a nostalgic old timey TV right now. So Brian, no thank you for joining me today. And
it was fun.
You take it easy, my friend, and I know you're gonna be busy and stuff going forward. We'll see if I get you back on the horn here for the post game. If not, maybe we'll finally hear from the professor post his coaching job now. So might finally get some remarks from him. He might be busy with Pro Football Focus still. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. But anyways.
Wizardly duties.
Yes, the wizardly duties. But we'll be back to you hopefully Sunday or Monday at the latest, I think. And the reason I'm flinching here is I've got my phone. I'm getting buzzed on alerts. So I believe TJ Watt was a full go in practice as well for Friday, is because they would just be wrapping up right here as we're wrapping up. So we'll see who else has a clean bill of health. I don't think there's anything to really 100% worry about here. I don't know that I'm going to take one quick gander here now. We're just getting the field reporters here. So anyways, we'll let everybody go. And as always, you know, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, we encourage you to come out there too. Be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.